Good afternoon. This is the Console Hero, and today I'm joined on our show with Alan Nitz. He is a on-air personality at Split Infinity Radio, which is a German online radio station, and he's also well known as a podcaster on the Geekly Gab and Nerdical Nonsense show. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
So I listened to your show, and I enjoyed what I listened to. I know that you have three S's. That's your big thing that you're known for. You want to tell us what the three S's are about?
Our three S's are the rules that we came up with for the show, that which is basically just laying it out. Like, this is what you're getting into for the next 2 hours, which is we smoke, we swear, and we're so sorry that we're not sorry. And we definitely are all three of those things. We're definitely smoking on the episode. Like, we're not faking any of that. We do swear a lot. And we're not sorry. We're not sorry at all. We're actually so sorry that we're not sorry. So,
so no apologies, no fucks given.
Yes.
All right. So I listened to it, and I know that you currently have a Batman versus Superman contest going on.
Oh, yeah. It's... just to get some likes on Facebook, get us more out there, get everybody listening to the show. We got some sweet stuff that we're going to be giving away. We got a giant cardboard cutout of Batman. Well, it's Batfleck, and he looks very sad and depressed. We often make fun of him on the show. We got some really cool stuff. I don't want to spoil what we're giving away.
All right.
But we've been collecting some Batman gear. We even had We got our hands on some pretty cool stuff. So
did you see the video of Ben Affleck like hearing about the fact that the movie didn't do well, and while he was on an interview?
The sad Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
It was heartbreaking. I was like, oh my god, I actually feel bad for him. What'd you think of the Batman versus Superman movie?
Oh, well, you're gonna make me go to the shit store, good sir. We boxed all that up and we put it in the shit store because we are so dumb in that movie. But yeah, I didn't like it. It felt like a collection of random scenes jumbled together for an excruciatingly long movie. Like, that could have been shortened down and the same story told better, even. And Henry Cavill as Superman, man, he was just an emotionless brick the whole movie.
Yeah, I almost walked out. I watched it with our friend Hank Hawkins. So we were at the movie theater, and we both looked at each other at this first scene, like very first scene, where the bats like swirl around little Bruce
levitates.
Wayne, and he levitates. I'm like, really? No. I was like, I'm getting out of here. This is bullshit. And then it turned out to be a dream sequence, and I watched the rest of it. What'd you think of the well, not blood, but the violence. Like, the fact that Batman is actually killing people now.
Well, They kind of took a lot of that from The Dark Knight Returns, where he's a much grittier Batman. They just had to Hollywoodify it. And they had him murdering people. Not like, innocent people, mind you. And he wasn't directly doing it. Like, anybody with the brand pretty much died in jail. Like, he wasn't physically killing these people.
What about the bullets coming out of the Batmobile?
All right, most people died.
Or the poor people that got, like, smashed with the Batmobile when he crashed into the vehicle.
It was, all right, yeah. I don't know, I'm trying to block it all out because Batman's my favorite hero, and it's hard to see him in that light. Ben Affleck is by far the best Batman I've ever seen, but to see his character killing people bothered me.
Do you think he was better as Bruce Wayne or better as Batman?
Bruce Wayne. Yeah, he was definitely better as Bruce Wayne. He had that playboy billionaire going on.
Right.
And it worked.
Do you think he's going to be on the same level as like Robert Downey Jr. as far as like Tony Stark goes? Or do you think it's kind of apples and oranges to compare the two?
You know, it's interesting because we've never made that comparison before. But and I will say, yeah, he's pretty much our Robert Downey Jr. The closest thing DC's going to get to him.
Yeah, because, like, Batman's so solitary, and Bruce Wayne, anyways, is so solitary, and he doesn't let a lot of people in. It's hard for him to get that arrogance that Tony Stark has.
But I think Ben Affleck kind of pulled that off, just with his swagger, the smirks, his general attitude. And it was, I don't know, it was pretty solid.
Do you think he's going to give Wonder Woman the D?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably. They're already setting that one up, aren't they?
What do you think the implications of that would be? Like, do you think, like, if she tenses up, is she going to, like, break his dick off? Like, I mean, she's pretty well super, just like Superman, right?
Yeah, no, she's Amazonian. She's got super strength. Everybody has to accept the fact that Bruce Wayne's human, so therefore, that's a human unit.
Yeah.
And she's just going to, like, rip it off. It's going to be, like, some, you know, True Blood shit in there.
Oh, he better hope she doesn't use the lasso of truth on her. on him. So, are you team Marvel or team DC?
Oh, DC. I gotta go DC. I enjoy the Marvel movies that they're doing, but when it comes to the comic books, no offense to my co-hosts who love them, they're fucking boring.
The Marvel movies.
Yeah, no, the Marvel comics. Oh. The movies are pretty good. DC movies I enjoy better. I like the darker, grittier stuff. I don't like campy slapstick.
I also enjoy the fact that DC is, like, not afraid to actually kill people and, you know, stuff like that. And there's, you know, sometimes there's blood. In the Marvel movies, you hardly ever see blood, and people are killed for sure. But it's more implied. It's not really on-screen deaths, and definitely not gruesome deaths.
Like, if they're going to take a building down, the camera is all the way across the city. Right. See the building fall, so.
Exactly. Well, since you're a DC fan, I got to ask the terrible question. Green Lantern, what'd you think?
Of the movie? Yeah. Of Green Lantern? Oh, we have a saying over on our show. The Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds was fucking clown shoes.
Right.
That movie is god-awful. From the way they did the origin story of Hal Jordan and everybody else, the fact that they had Hal Jordan playing, or they had Ryan Reynolds not playing Hal Jordan. Like, they wrote that he was Hal Jordan, but he definitely wasn't. We actually have an episode coming out where Shane just rips this an asshole. Very nice. New asshole. It's actually coming out this Sunday. This coming.
Okay. Well, I'll be sure to listen. Someone's coming in my house. So, I actually played the Green Lantern game, and that was enjoyable, but very basic. Have you gotten a chance to play?
No.
Have you played any of the DC-based video games, like, say, Batman Arkham series or anything like that?
I have Arkham Asylum. I have Arkham Asylum on my PC, and I had Arkham Knight for my PS4 before I sold it. But yeah, they're fantastic. I have Lego Batman. I have all three of the Lego Batmans. Those are amazing games. And I've got Injustice, which is kind of a Batman game.
I also have Injustice, and I enjoy it very much. Mm-hmm. It's a lot better than Mortal Kombat versus DC.
That was utter garbage.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you were playing The Flash, you were pretty much undefeated.
Yeah, you won. You won.
Yeah.
All the time.
The fact that he could pretty much teleport from one end of the screen and pop out the other is just...
I mean, some would argue that Scorpion can do that, but Scorpion has a small distance. He just kind of jumps back and pops up to the other side. The Flash was running into you, running off the screen, running into you.
Right, he goes completely off screen. You can't target him whatsoever. At least with Scorpion, you might be able to maybe grab him in mid-teleport or something, but... All right, so let me ask you about your podcast. Who else is on the podcast with you?
So it's my friends Randy Anderson and Shane Bauer. It was an idea that through many, many, many sessions of us sitting around the table, me and Shane decided we should do a podcast because Shane's in a music group here in town called Jack Napier's Brand Next. And they did these info spots where they were telling people about upcoming shows that they were doing, and little, you know, this isn't that. And I was like, why don't we take that and we should, like, go further with it and just talk about nerdy shit, like movies, video games, comic books. Hell, if we find a musician that's nerdy as hell, we can talk about them. And we talked about it, and the schedules weren't lining up, and then finally we just sat down and did it. And then... the first two episodes we had Randy on as a guest, and he wasn't originally going to be, like, 100%, but then we were like, fuck, he works. Let's And so we asked Randy, and he was already like, I was planning on coming anyway. So
very nice. Now, you're the co-creator of it, correct?
Yeah, it was me and Shane.
All right. Let's see, how long have you been making podcasts or being an internet radio host?
The internet radio thing actually just started back in January. But I was a fan of that place since 2007. It's a really cool, geeky gamer online radio station, and I don't know, I fell in love with it, and I just wanted to DJ for them when I wasn't an amateur shit. But podcasting, that was right around January, February we started that, and that was the first time I had gotten into it.
Of this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I too am new to the whole podcasting thing, but I see that you're already on podcast episode 27.
Yeah.
So congratulations for that, for Thank sticking you. It out. About how often do your podcast episodes come out?
They come out every Sunday, once a week. Okay, we have a new episode every week. But they're always, we record, so like if an episode's coming out on like this Sunday, that episode was recorded last Saturday. So the Saturday before an episode comes out, we're already recording next week's episode.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the way I do it is, like, I record on Wednesdays, and then I'll upload it Saturday night, and it's ready Sunday morning. So, also, we come out on Sunday. So, on my show, we talk a lot about PlayStation games, but it's really all console games. PlayStation kind of gets the most attention because that's, you know, what I'm familiar with. Not to say I haven't played Xbox games. I actually used to be an Xbox gamer, but the whole scene kind of threw me off. Like, definitely a different type of gamer, whether it's, you know, Xbox gamer, PlayStation gamer, Nintendo gamer. They kind of just do their own thing and don't bother nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Xbox guys, they started giving gamers a bad name.
Well, they think their dicks are huge.
Right, right.
They're not.
No, I've seen a few dicks. And they're not. All right, so what game are you playing now?
I'm playing Evolve. I just got it. Everybody, I'm a PC gamer.
Right.
I kind of gave up the whole console thing. When I was just, I don't know, I was unimpressed with E3, like what the consoles were offering. And I was like, I don't know, I could get the same games that I want on the console on the PC, plus I can get anything else on the PC. So I went that route. But I'm currently playing Evolve because they Steam just gave it away to everybody for free, and it's a fantastic 4v1 like monster hunting game.
Right, right.
I don't know if you have it on the PS4.
I don't have it, but I am familiar with it.
It's a fun game.
And different characters have different abilities.
Yeah. You have a support, a trapper, assault, and then you've got like an engineer. It's pretty fun. And then the monster evolves, progressively through the level. And then at the end, he has to, like, take out your power core, and you have to either kill the monster, or you have to defend the power core and kill the creature, or kill the creature before it even gets to the point where it can evolve and start taking that out. But, yeah, it's pretty solid.
Now, what triggers the evolutions of the monster?
The killing, either killing you and, like, eating you, or eating just, like, the random creatures that are walking around. So if you're on the ground and you don't know where the creature is, you could just start killing the wildlife, and it won't have the ability to evolve unless it attacks you.
Well, that's a good tactic.
Yeah.
So I noticed that the creatures are very large.
Very.
So how does someone hide a creature that big and not get found out, like, immediately by the squad that's coming out?
The maps are enormous.
Okay.
And it's two scales. So you're the size of a human, and, of course, this thing is ginormous. And it takes it a minute to get from one side of the map to the other. So you can imagine how long it would take for a human to. So the monster could just move and be ahead one step at a time. It doesn't actually have to hide. It could just keep moving.
Right. Is there any sort of camouflage or anything like that, like where you can blend into your environment?
Yeah. The monster can, because you get skill points, basically, that you can dump into various abilities that the creature gets. And one of them is a camouflage that you can just, like, chameleon into shit.
Nice.
Yep.
So let's say, for example, you're human and you put your crosshairs over where the monster is, but it's camouflaged. Is it gonna like do that turn red thing?
No, it stays white because, of course, you're not actually seeing the monster because it's camouflaged. But if you have a trapper on your team and he is using his instinct, he can find you while you're camouflaged because he has like a scent or something. And then, of course, you're going to light up red on everybody's screen and then they'll come get you.
Right. Is there a radar? Or
there's like a kind of like in Halo where if they make noise, it...
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So contextual, like situational stuff will kind of let other people know your position.
It's like a motion tracker, but with sound.
All right. Now, would you say being a human or being the monster is easier?
Human. Human's way easier.
Okay.
Yeah, because if you're the monster, you have to contend with four little assholes shooting at you. Yeah. I'd rather be the human.
Awesome. Now, are there any other games that you're playing right now?
Lately I've been getting back into League of Legends. I hate the fact that I got addicted to that stupid game. And then, I don't know, I got Fallout 4. I play off and on. I don't know, Black Ops 2. I play COD. I'm that guy. I play Call of Duty and I like it.
Whatever makes you happy.
A lot of people don't like COD gamers, though, because we kind of have a bad name, like you said, with Xbox
right.
gamers.
Well, I tend to stay away from it, but, I mean, I've got, you know, Call of Duty poster right there.
I figured you have that, though, because it's a zombie.
Initially, yes, but I did genuinely like Black Ops. Black Ops 2 was okay, but I still prefer the original Black Ops.
There's nobody playing it anymore.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And that's, otherwise, man, I'd be right there with Black Ops 1. I don't even care that it's that old and looks like that. I'll play it.
Did you ever play Left 4 Dead?
Yeah, I have Left 4 Dead 1 and 2. I don't know, those games are fantastic. I love them.
Do you think we'll ever see a Left 4 Dead 3?
No, because Valve can't count to 3. Valve is incapable of counting to 3. Look, even Ricochet 2 doesn't have a sequel.
Half-Life 3?
No, you go to your corner, sir.
All right, so on your podcast, you referenced Dark Souls. Are you playing the newest Dark Souls, Dark Souls 3?
No, I wasn't that fortunate to pick it up, but I played Dark Souls 1, and I play about 15 minutes, and then I realize I can't get past the big asylum demon at the beginning, and that's all the Dark Souls I've played. I can't kill the big demon at the beginning of the game.
Did you try to take on the skeletons in the graveyard? Like, if you turn around to the right and go backwards, pretty much? Like, did you try? Okay, so...
I didn't know I can turn around and go backward.
It's open world-ish. Like, it's kind of open world, but it definitely funnels you to one area. But there, once you get to the first area, there's a graveyard that I would recommend not going in right away. You can get great stuff if you're fast enough, but these skeletons pop up and they make very quick work of you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get through the picking up your shield, picking up your sword. Mm-hmm. Oh no, there's the asylum demon, and that's when I die.
Oh, that's in the very beginning.
Yeah.
That giant, like, very large demon.
I can't kill it.
Okay.
Yeah, I suck.
Did you ever play its predecessor, Demon Souls?
No, I never played Demon Souls.
I am one of the very few people in the world to have a platinum in Demon Souls.
I think my friend Riley might have that too.
Excellent.
He's one of those guys.
Now, keep in mind, I don't like the Dark Souls series very much. I have them all, but I don't like them. I prefer Demon Souls because it's pure. It's just, it got everything right in my eyes, and the challenge was real. Where in Dark Souls, I don't know, there's something missing. And same with Bloodborne. I have that too, and it's just something's missing.
I never had the opportunity to play Bloodborne.
Actually, I can tell you what's missing in Bloodborne. Shields.
Shields are missing in Bloodborne? I watched the Game Grumps play Bloodborne, and that was a fun adventure.
Yeah, those guys are great. With Bloodborne, like, everything's fast-paced now, and so dodge is, like, your thing. But the thing is, like, to attack takes stamina. To dodge takes stamina. If you get hit, you're going to lose stamina and life. So just doing minute actions, running takes stamina. You know, like, everything's working against you, it feels like.
Yeah, I'm beginning to dislike Dark Souls now. I don't know. I want to try to get through the first one, but it's insanely difficult. I picked it up on the Steam Summer Sale just a couple weeks ago, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I played it 15, 20 minutes, and I went, I can't do this.
Well, so you mentioned a sale. The PlayStation Network had a terrible sale this week. It was really crap. The last 2 weeks have been great, but this week is just awful. They have what's called the replay sale, and they're basically all they're doing is giving away previously offered PlayStation Plus games for discounted instead of for free.
It's kind of a slap in the face.
It is, especially since we just had the last 2 weeks, which were just amazing sales, and I thought maybe the trend would continue. Not the case. They have things like the Dead or Alive pay-to-play game. I think it's called Last Round. They have like a bunch of crappy avatars and a bunch of really stupid PlayStation Network games, you know.
Like all the indie platform type stuff?
Yeah, like really terrible stuff.
A lot of JRPGs?
No, not even that. Like, not even good stuff. We're talking about like things that are like on the level of Qbert.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really bad indie games.
Right.
Ouch, man.
Now, the last two weeks, PlayStation has had the Midsummer sale, weeks 1 and 2. I got some good things on that, such as Sword Art Online Lost Song and Borderlands The Handsome Collection. And, yeah. I also almost got every Telltale game there is.
Was it just called the Telltale, you're not going to have any more time back?
It was a bundle. It was like $125 or something, but they dropped it down. Like, I had most of them anyways, so I didn't like buy the bundle. Mm-hmm. But
it's actually kind of funny. I love when they bundle games like that. For the Steam Summer Sale this year, they named the Borderlands pack the "Please, I don't have enough time on my hands." Like,
yeah, that's true. You played the original Borderlands?
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually in a group right now of a few players. We're going through the first game, and we're trying to get all pearlescent weapons.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult.
I also am going through Borderlands right now.
Borderlands 1?
The 1, yeah.
Awesome.
Yep, I got it on that PS3 and that PS3 in the other room, and me and my son are going through, and my nephew. But they're not as dedicated. See, I've done it before. I've platinumed it twice, and I've thousanded it, or whatever you call it, for Xbox once already. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm well versed in everything Dark Souls or Borderlands, but I don't know. They don't have the same drive as me.
It's an amazing universe, and when I don't know if you noticed, but you know, Gearbox was like, "Oh yeah, no, Borderlands 3 is happening." I'm like, I'm so happy.
I'm excited. I haven't gotten a chance to play the pre-sequel yet, but I heard that's really good too.
I have mixed feelings on the pre-sequel.
Okay. What is your, what don't you like about it? We'll start with that.
Well, they changed the voice of Jack. Handsome Jack is not voiced by the same guy. Obviously, though, because he has to be younger, so they have to come up with a different sounding Jack, I guess. But the playstyle, like the moon, the whole low grav, it just doesn't work. And the flow of the game is really slow.
So there's a lot of just jumping and floating.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound very good.
No, you'll notice like just everything feels like it's a slow churning, it's really slow progressing.
Now, is it the same length of, say, Borderlands or Borderlands 2? Because those games take a long time if you do all the quests.
It's, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, if you do all the side quests and you do the main story, it'll take you about as long as Borderlands 2. And, I mean, you have to be hauling ass in Borderlands 2. Mm-hmm. But if you just do the main story, you can have that done in one night. And it's...
Do they reference where Cooter came from? Like, who his father is?
Actually, there's, oh, I don't want to spoil it for you, but there's a really cool, like, Easter egg that you catch Mad Moxie in, and, oh, man, but she's totally, like, scootered up. Like, it's hilarious. She's got the hat on, she's got a wrench, and she's all talking with the Southern draw, and it's really good.
Very nice.
And then she's like, hey, what are you doing in here?
Now, they also had the Far Cry collection during the Midsummer sale, so I picked that up for my son, and most of the Assassin's Creed, and they focused on those little, like, bite-sized Assassin's Creeds that they have, like Assassin's Creed China, Assassin's Creed Russia,
the stuff like that. The side-scrollers and stuff, yeah.
Is that what they are? They're side-scrollers?
Yeah. They're pretty good games.
Okay. Awesome. So, Pokemon Go. What'd you think?
I hate this program so much. I know the number. I don't like it at all because people are just suddenly like not paying attention to anything else. They're all about finding Pokemon in random places. I've heard stories of people just showing up in like my friend's yards trying to find Pokemon. And they're like, can you please go? No, there's a Pikachu here. I don't give a shit, leave.
Right.
I was recently with my girlfriend someplace, and there was a child, and he was crossing a street, and he had his face down. He was playing Pokemon Go, and he had his face down into his phone. And he just started walking across the street as a van was coming. And literally, the van locked up his brakes. And we were like, whoa, watch where you're going. He walked in front of the van and kept walking down the street. And I watched him. He never picked his head up to look around at all. He was just right into his phone.
Did he know that he was almost, like, destroyed by this van?
Once he figured it out, like, he lifted up his head once the van came to a stop. And he was like, oh. And then kept going.
Was not phased.
And I was just like, holy shit, you're gonna die.
And Pokemon is life.
I have a buddy who's like openly confessed. He's like, yeah, I burned a half a tank of gas trying to find Pokemon and running around with it running while he's in his car. And I'm going, you're gonna die, dude. Stop it.
The problem I have with it is there's just not enough support for it yet. You know, it's a good idea in theory, I think, but... like the Pokestops, that's really what it's all about. It's not really about the Pokemon. You can find Pokemon anywhere. But finding the Pokestops to then have the Pokeballs to be able to continue hunting for Pokemon, that's the tough part because they want you to buy their fake money or whatever so that you can then spend money to buy more balls and more potions and more items.
Mm-hmm. I played it for a little bit and I noticed that because I reside up in North Muskegon, and around me, this is just not a lot up there.
Yeah, there's not a lot here either.
There's three gyms up there, and there's like four Pokestops. And the three gyms are along Rudiman, right there where all the mansions are up there.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, one of the mansions is a gym.
Nice.
Yeah.
What color are the gyms over there?
Oh, crap, that's those three teams, right?
There's blue, red, and yellow.
Yeah, there's a blue one and two yellow ones.
See, I've noticed, in Muskegon anyways, that it's almost predominantly blue. And then yellow would come second, and there's almost no reds. Have you noticed that, like, being out and about?
No, not at all, actually. I don't fire the game up when I'm out and about. I forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be laying in bed and I'll be like, oh, I'm gonna turn on Pokemon Go, and then I realize I'm in my room and there's nothing in there. So
yeah, I can't get the augmented reality to work for mine. I can do it normally, you know, without it, but I see like all these pictures on the internet of people like I caught a Pidgey and it's sitting on someone's head, or I caught this Pikachu cowering in a corner in a store. I don't get that. Like, I turn it on and it's just my room.
I had a Rattata in my bathroom, off of my bedroom, and it was on the floor, but that was about it.
Very nice. I wonder if you have to be, like, right on them, like, you know, because with the game, you can be kind of near them and click on them, and then it draws you into battle. But I wonder if you have to be, like, almost on top of them to be able to use the augmented reality proper.
I don't know. Anytime I've ever fought a Pokemon, they're, like, right next to me.
So okay.
Maybe.
That might be.
I fought a Pidgey in my truck. I was parked at Walmart, and I was like, oh, look, there's a Pidgey. And I fought it and caught it, and it was just my dash with a Pidgey.
Very nice. I do find it disturbing that, at least where I live, it's nothing but, like, garbage Pokemon. Like, you know, you've got Pidgeys and rats and snakes and bugs, and yep. That's it. And I'm like, that's kind of fitting for Muskegon, but, you know.
Yeah, out by me, I have a lot of Rattatas and Pidgeys. That's a lot of first-gen, you know, just trash.
Yeah, I don't think they've released any of the other gens yet. I think it's strictly first-gen for now.
Oh, cool.
But I don't think the legendaries are there, like Articuno, Moltres, Zapdos. I don't think those are there. And I definitely don't think Mewtwo's out anywhere yet.
No, I don't think Mew or Mewtwo are out. Because Mew was technically in Gen 1, I think.
Right. It was the secret Pokemon that was technically glitch.
No, it's a glitch.
Yeah. And then missing number, which will wreck your shit.
I actually have a level 100 Mew in Pokemon Blue version.
Very nice. The original Game Boy version?
No, on my 3DS.
Oh.
Yeah, I bought Blue for that, and a friend of mine traded it to me, so I didn't have to do the stupid glitch.
Is there anything new in that one that's not in, say, the Game Boy version?
I could play wirelessly against you if you had a 3DS.
Hmm.
They added the... You just go to the Link Club, and it fires it up like you're connecting the cable, but it just uses the Wi-Fi from the 3DS.
Oh, okay. I'm actually contemplating getting a 3DS myself.
They're fantastic little units.
See, I'm not, like... Don't get me wrong. I love Nintendo handhelds up until the DS. And it's really nothing against it. It's just that during that time, the PSP came out. So I was like, oh, well, I'm going to get on that. And then I never got into the DS.
My only problem, PSP versus the DS, was that just like Sony, for some reason, like, they would release a PSP, right? The PSP, mm-hmm. Was it 3000 was the first one that came out?
Well, the 1000.
Yeah, the 1000.
Yeah.
And then they were like, nobody's buying this. So they revised it, and they made it, like, slimmer. And then they revised it again, and they made it, I think, slimmer again. Mm-hmm. And then they have the Go, where you don't even buy a game. You have to buy everything online.
Right.
And then there's the Vita, right? I think that's all their handhelds.
Yep.
But that was pretty quick.
And there's two versions of the Vita.
Like, I don't know. Sony kind of did, like, a Sega Genesis there, a Sega thing right there. They were like, nobody's buying this. Quick, change it. I was like, oh... But Nintendo did the same thing. There's the Fat Boy DS, the DS Lite, the DSi, the 3DS, the 3DS XL, the new 3DS XL, the 2DS. All right. That's a moot point. they've both done it.
What do you think of the 2DS? I think it's the stupidest piece of equipment I've ever seen.
My little brother's friend had one, and it broke. Like, broke. And he didn't even do it. Like, it was just broke.
That's a shame. It just looks cheap, doesn't it? Yeah. It looks like a Leapfrog tablet.
Yeah, it looks like you're about to play like Math Blaster,
right?
Or some beanies or something, you know.
So okay, so you didn't like Pokemon Go, but what do you think would make it better?
Get rid of the augmented reality thing and the GPS thing, and then just make it like you're playing in a region. Make it a Pokemon release, kind of like Sun and Moon that's coming out.
Okay, so just, you know, basically what they've been doing, just release it on a mobile platform instead of the DS.
Yeah, like a mobile-only version of it, and you can even create your own Pokemon if you want for it, so it's, you know, separate entirely.
Do you think that would lend itself to maybe using other functionality, like GPS functionality, in another way? Maybe not where you actually have to walk around to get Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean, and this makes me sound like I'm just like this fat kid that sits in the basement, but I mean, you could totally reuse the GPS as like a as a way to plant the Pokemon around you, you know, so you don't have to do this, you know, the stereotypical thing where you run into the tall grass and pray that something's there. You know, you can have them place it around you, like, oh, this, you know, they're sitting here, and just have it, you know, right next to them. But other than that, no, I mean, I would just create just a regular Pokemon game for it.
How do you think it would work if, instead of, like, in real time they show up, you know, around you, and you walk and you gather them, but if based on your GPS location, like say we live in the north,
mm-hmm.
you know, so maybe we would be predisposed to having
like ice based Pokemon,
yeah, stuff yeah, like that.
I think they already kind of do that. Like my friend Randy, he works at Herman Miller, and they're noticing a lot of like electric type Pokemon or cave type Pokemon inside Herman Miller.
Okay.
Oh, they're playing it on inside the factory. but yeah, they're noticing like a lot of Zubats, a lot of like Electabuzzes, Voltorbs, stuff like that there. And then when you're out and about in Muskegon, you're getting a lot of the grass types, some bug types.
Right.
I mean, I found a Bulbasaur up by my house, and that's all grass up there. I mean, you look at the map, and it's just green.
I found a Squirtle in my community's pool. It's the craziest thing because, like, on the map, there, you would never see a pool. It doesn't show that there's any water source there. It's just the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it knows there's a pool in there, and there was a Squirtle. Only time I've ever seen a Squirtle, aside from the starters.
Yeah. Did you know that if you ignore your three starters, that you can catch a Pikachu?
Yes, and I have one.
Oh, nice.
I started with my Google account, and I got the, I started with Bulbasaur. That's what I started with. And then later, like the next day, I found out that I could have had a Pikachu, and I was like, well, shit. I need that. So I went and I started up a new account with their web-based account.
The trainer
thing.
Club?
Yeah, trainer club. And so I started all over, which wasn't much. You know, I'd only gotten through a day worth of stuff. But I immediately regretted my decision.
Why?
Because I have never used my Pikachu, nor will I ever use my Pikachu. It's the weakest Pokemon I have. It does nothing. And there's no other Pikachus to find around me, so I can't upgrade it.
So, how do you fight? Like, all I've been doing is catching Pokemon. How do you...
The only way to fight is to go to a gym. If it's a gym that's your team color, which and you get to choose your team color at level 5.
Okay.
If it is your team color, then you can train. And that means going against the Pokemon leaders that are already there. You know, and you don't lose anything if you don't make it, you know. You have the chance of getting experience, maybe even items. Now, if it's a gym that you don't own, or it's not your color, then you actually do battle against them. And it's not just the first trainer that you go through. You don't, like, because I thought, oh, I just pick who I want to battle. And then it goes through it. No. You start at the beginning, and you progressively go up the tiers, battling the gym leaders.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So I went to the lighthouse on Lake Michigan Sunday.
Is there a gym there?
There is. There's a gym right on the lighthouse. It is a blue gym, and I tried to take it, and I failed horribly. Now, what I can say is, it's not just one versus one Pokemon. The gym leader only gets one Pokemon, but you have your entire roster to go through.
Oh, okay.
Now, the caveat of that is it's going to kill your Pokemon if it beats you. So then you have to revive them, or you have to pay to get more revives to be able to revive them.
Oh, no.
Otherwise, you won't be able to use them in any other battles.
That's how they make their money, then.
Right. Now, I have been getting a lot of revives myself and a lot of potions, so from Pokestops. And there's also eggs, which you can hatch to get more rare Pokemon. There's 10-kilometer eggs, 5-kilometer eggs, and 2-kilometer eggs. And, you know, the rarity increases based on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I have a 10-kilometer, 3 5-kilometers, and a 2-kilometer. But from what I saw online, like, I can get things like Scyther or Jinx or, you know...
Nice.
Things like that, yeah.
I'll have to start picking up eggs from those stops.
Yeah, what I do is I just leave it on and keep it in my pocket, and then as I'm walking around work, it kind of builds it up slowly. We're not allowed to use our phones at work, but I do anyways. So is there anything that you do like about Pokemon Go?
I don't know. It's kind of nifty. I mean, yeah, it just feels like a trendy thing. Like, mm-hmm. right now, it's kind of nifty and everything. Once everything dies out and there's not as many people in the game anymore, I'll probably pick it up and really give it a go.
Did you think it was going to blow up like it did?
No.
I didn't either. Like, day one, I was like, holy shit, everybody is playing this. Yeah. Like, half the world is playing this right now.
That was holy crap, yeah.
Do you think there's any other series that might do well with augmented reality or geocaching like that?
Well, there already is. Well, not like game series, but there's already like other AR games out. Like the people that made Pokemon Go have Ingress.
Right.
And you know, that's the same. It's an RPG that you play, and it's all augmented reality. It uses GPS and.
See, I wasn't aware that Ingress was an RPG. I thought it was just like a basically a GPS system that showed historical places and popular like tourist locations.
No, Ingress is a it's a RPG by Niantic.
I think that's how they say it. Niantic. But
yeah, it's all based off your GPS, and your friends are all in it, and yeah, it's. But nobody ever played it. Like,
I might actually pick that up. From what I understand, they use Ingress, their database, to populate what the Pokestops are in Pokemon Go. That's the way I understand it. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to see like if more companies get onto it, because this is what I thought. I thought that it was just basically a location device, kind of like Yelp or something like that. Like, companies can put their company on Ingress for a fee, and then they get reviews and stuff like that and get people to come to their place. And I thought, you know, this is a really genius cash grab for them. You know, they create the format, and then they reap the benefits, you know, with their other popular game. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know it was an RPG. That's good to know. All right, so let's talk about your podcast a little bit more. What's coming up?
Well, I actually have a list. I have a list of upcoming episodes. This weekend, we're actually recording. We're doing a season recap of the show Into the Badlands on AMC, which is like. Have you watched Into the Badlands?
I literally watched zero TV.
Oh, man. That's right. I'm so sorry. Into the Badlands is it's like a kung fu film meets the 1800s South.
Hmm.
There's this place called the Badlands, which is controlled by five barons. And they all peddle in their little various wares. Like, one owns, like, an oil field. The other one harvests poppy for opium. One peddles in precious metals and stuff. And they all have southern draws. But they all fight with, like, katanas. And they know kung fu. And there's the whole Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon stuff. And
Does it take place in America?
It post, like, nuclear, like, wiping us all out.
America. Okay. All
like,
right.
It's way, way into the future, and it's really freaking good.
So like all the times that these, you know, well, rednecks, for lack of a better word, went to their local Piggly Wiggly and picked up like that crappy katana that like you just display on your wall.
Yeah.
They all just happen to have them, and that's what they use.
Yeah, except they're like trained fighters and they know how to do martial arts and stuff. And I think that's hilarious that they mash these two cultures together, but it works.
Who would have figured?
And then after this Saturday's episode, on the 30th, we're going to be doing our review of the new Ghostbusters film.
Ah.
Yep. And At first, I was kind of worried about this film, but I've recently seen some reviews that have come out that are pretty positive.
I'm going to get into that with you in a minute.
I don't know if you saw the video of Bill Murray.
No, I did not.
Oh, man. I think it was on Fallon or Kimmel, but they had a bunch of people there, and they showed a clip from the movie, and then when it came back, all you see is Bill Murray just like... Very I was like, nice. Oh, no. And then on the 30th of on the 30th of July, we have an interview with... oh, crap, I just had his name up there. I didn't have a last name. His name is Mark. He's the guy who runs the Grand Rapids Comic Con. But we have an interview with him coming up on July 30th, and we announced on our show that we got press passes to that, so we're going to try to score some interviews with various, like, stars that are there. I mean, probably nobody huge, but I mean, it'd be cool to interview like the Red Power Ranger because he's going to be there. The
Red
Ranger. But we're going to be interviewing the owner of the Grand Rapids Comic Con on the 30th, and we're pretty pumped for that one.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever ran a panel at a thing like that?
No, not at all.
I actually got the opportunity to do three panels at ICON, which is a New York Comic Con type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot of fun. And actually, you don't have to be anybody of any sort to do it. You just have to have an interest in doing it. Because they need panels to keep the people occupied in between going to vendors and stuff. So it benefits them, you know, if you already have something put together and you're like, yeah, sure, I'll take some time out of some people's day. So maybe that's something to look into.
Yeah, maybe we can run a panel. That'd be cool.
Yeah, even if it's just like, hey, this is who we are. We're the Geekly Gab and Nerdical Nonsense. So, you know, ask us questions. And then they ask you questions for an hour or two. The ones that I did a Your Mama joke type panel. But for nerd stuff. Like comic book related, video game related, Star Wars related, nice. Stuff like that. So everything had to be in the form of like a... For example, like Your Mama's So Fat, Darth Vader looked up in the sky and said, that's not a moon, that's your mama, or something like that. You know, that's no Death Star, that's your mama, or something like that.
That's no moon.
Yeah. So, that's a terrible example.
That was really bad, yeah.
Yeah. What, anything else coming out?
Into August, we've got, into August, we've got Suicide Squad, and we're trying to score another interview. We're not talking much about that yet because we have no idea if we're going to be able to even do it. But yeah, the only thing we've got coming up in August is our review of Suicide Squad when that comes out, which we're all really excited for. That movie is hopefully not going to disappoint like Batman versus Superman.
I think it'll be all right. I think it'll be better than Batman versus Superman at least.
I went back recently and I watched the R-rated, like, extended version of Batman Superman, and it's still a pile of shit.
Really?
Yeah.
What is different with the R-rated? Do they add cursing? Do they add blood?
There's some cursing and there's just blood. That's pretty much that. And then there's, like, 30 extra minutes of footage that has nothing to do with what's going on. Mm. It's mostly scenery and just Batman looking angry.
So when Batman's shooting these people with the Batmobiles,
there's like spray and...
Very nice.
Yeah.
I might actually watch it just for that.
Don't do it, man. Don't put yourself through it.
You mentioned Ghostbusters, so let's jump on that.
Oh no!
I'm actually a diehard Ghostbusters fan.
Same.
When we get done here, I'll actually show you. I've got a Ghostbusters costume in the closet, like full movie replica.
With proton pack?
No, I don't have that money. It's like $1,000 to make one of those, and you can't just buy it. Like you can buy something that someone else kind of makes, but they're not exact. All right, so what do you think of it? All female cast. It's a reboot. Even though they say it's not, it really is.
It's the female cast doesn't really bother me. I don't know. I'm torn on it. I've heard a lot of mixed reviews, and I feel like I need to, like, see it for myself before I can pass judgment. That first trailer where they did set it up as a reboot, that really pissed me off.
See, the first trailer was confusing for me because it says 30 years ago, New York, like, got saved by these four guys, right? Or something to that effect. But then you learn that in the movie, it's like that never happened. It doesn't exist. They don't remember them. Nothing happened.
Yeah, with that's why I look at this new one as not as like a reboot, as just like a side universe, kind of like Earth 2, if you will.
Okay.
So this is like the Earth 2 Ghostbusters, and they're all female, and that's why that first trailer was just nonsense, and it didn't need to happen. Because they set it up as a reboot, as like a sequel, like way down the road,
right?
And it has nothing to do with the first ones.
So, do you think that the conspiracy theorists, if that's what you want to call them, or you know, the people that say, okay, this is just to do the whole female empowerment thing, it's a female empowerment movement?
No, there's been comic books of all female Ghostbusters before. This has nothing to do with any kind of feminist movement or no. Get off Tumblr. Just get off Tumblr.
It's a shame that they didn't use more attractive females for the Ghostbusters. Now I understand why they did, because the original Ghostbusters were not good looking guys by any means.
Peter Venkman thought he was an 11 and he was like a 4.
Right. That guy, I don't know, it's so funny watching the first one, like, he looks rough in the first one, but in the second one, he almost has, like, Bozo the Clown hair, like, he's got that little piece of hair in the middle of his forehead that he just, like, refused to just cut and be done with, and then he had, like, as much on the sides as he could that his head would allow, I guess.
That kind of became his look.
Yeah.
From, like, Ghostbusters 2 all the way through What About Bob, and I mean, even like Lost in Translation and stuff like that, he had that Bill Murray look.
Did you ever see Broken Flowers? Mm-mm. I saw that one. There's a good full nude scene in that one.
Oh, of Bill Murray?
No. Of a girl that's supposed to be his daughter.
Oh.
Yeah, and she's trying to show off to him, I guess.
That's weird. You took full frontal nudity, and I was like, all right, I'm kind of digging that. And then you were like, then she's standing in front of Bill Murray.
Yeah, I wish I knew what the girl's name was. She's famous now.
That'd be an awkward boner, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I have a hard on, but Bill Murray's on the screen, so I'm going to conflict. I have a conflicted dick.
Are you going to see it the weekend that it comes out?
No, because I am what you would call fat, and I can't do that to other people, like go into a hot, sweaty movie theater and like just kind of sardine into a chair. Hmm. I'm good on that. I'll wait till the weekend after.
Okay.
Or sometime during the week.
I'm going to attempt to see it the first weekend, this weekend. I was going to see it on Saturday, but I might be doing other things with my buddy Hank, who just... like text or not text me, but he called me right before the show, and he's like, "Hey, how do you feel about doing charity work?" I'm like, "What day?" And he's like, "Well, Saturday." Shit, we're not 100%, so I'm not gonna make that announcement just yet. But
for like every time you talk to him from here out, refer to him as Dr. Dick.
Dr. Dick.
Dr. Dick.
He might like that.
No, that's what we call him on the show.
Okay. Because he's a Doctor Who fan?
Well, yeah, he showed up with Jim Saville. And then
did
the Doctor Who episode with us. And towards the beginning of the episode, I don't remember, I was really high and I was laughing like the whole episode. But towards the beginning of the episode, he made a joke and he called himself Dr. Dick. And so we're just like, oh, that's his name. He gets like right under the microphone and is like, oh, yeah. You know,
that sounds exactly like Hank.
His radio voice is like, yeah, it's Dr. Dick.
He's doing Sexy Weather.
He did that twice on the show now.
Do you listen to Ski Town Stereo?
No, I don't. I feel bad that I don't, but I don't.
So sorry you're not sorry.
I listen to our show, and then I'm listening to the radio station that I work at online. And
Right. Do you think any other series would work with an all-female cast?
The Avengers.
That would be nice to see.
Yeah, just all chick Avengers, and then Black Widow be a dude.
Oh, I don't know. I kind of like her as a chick.
You could call him Praying Mantis or something. Either way, he's losing a head. insect jokes. Just completely gender swap the Avengers. Like you have a male Black Widow, but call him something else, like Benny Lumley's or something like that.
Okay.
That was dumb too.
Do you think there's any series that would not work with an all-female cast or a gender swap? Like, just absolutely no way, no how. Like, making the Powerpuff Girls the Powerpuff Boys, for example.
Oh, that would be terrible. Yeah. I think the Powerpuff Girls is perfect the way it is. Have you seen the reboot?
I have not, but I've heard that there is, in fact, a reboot.
It's fantastic.
Is it the same art style, or is it better?
It's a little more anime, but it's just as good. If I'm not mistaken, the original people are still doing it.
Okay.
It's just they have better technology, so they can do better animation.
Right. I like all the little subtle things that they throw in there. That, you know, the jokes that kind of just fly by, but then you rewatch them and you're like, ha ha.
I didn't get that when I was that age, but now I get it.
Right. Right. All right. So. I have a game that I like to play with people when they come on, and it's basically it's a synopsis game. I take synopsises from older PlayStation games, and I read them, and then you guess what they are. And I'm going to leave out pronouns or anything that would definitely say, like, this is definitely, you know, X game or whatever.
Oh, like character names and stuff?
Right.
Okay.
All right, so there's no time limit. I only did 5 for this show.
I'm gonna let you know. If I don't know it, I'm just going to say no.
That's fine. I picked ones that are fairly well known and one that's not. So we'll see.
Okay.
Hank got 2 out of 5, right? So you have to beat 2.
Are these completely different synopsises?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so the first one. In an unspecified time, presumably the distant future, the vast majority of Earth's population is wiped out by the cataclysmic war known as the Great Destruction. The harsh conditions that result force the new remaining survivors to live underground for 50 years, during which time corporations come to power. The two largest corporations, Chrome and Murakamo Millennium, constantly battle each other for supremacy, causing significant strife among the populace. However, the competition provides endless opportunities for the Ravens, mercenaries who exist independently of the corporations. The player pilots a blank, which is a giant mecha robot.
Titanfall?
Nope. No. This is a PS1 era.
A PS1?
I should have said that before. PS1 era. That one doesn't count.
Oh, man. PS1 era? Mech Warrior?
Nope.
No, man. I don't know.
It is Armored Core.
Holy crap, but I played Armored Core. I did not know that was the no. Wow.
Alright, next one.
Mulligan.
As a descendant of blank, you must end the vampire bloodline. Can you rid the world of this unspeakable terror? Uncover the mystery of dang it. And challenge an adventurer as legendary as his name.
You can stop reading the Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
No, it's the first sentence, and I was like, I know that! That's Symphony of the Night!
Are you a fan?
That's my shit, yeah.
I love that. I've played it in every iteration it has had. You know, the one for the PSP, which was the Bloodlines or whatever. Mm-hmm. I played Bloodlines on the Super Nintendo. I played Symphony of Night on the PlayStation 1. I played the re-release on the Xbox, and then on the PS3, of course.
I had Castlevania 1 for the NES. I had Castlevania 3 for the NES. It was given Castlevania 2. I promptly threw it away. That game is terrible.
Oh.
I had Bloodlines, but I had Bloodlines on my computer through an emulator. I had Symphony of the Night. I had it on the PS1, the Xbox 360, and the PS3. I bought it that many times.
It's a great game. Like, it's probably one of my favorite games ever.
I have the Lords of Shadow.
Okay. I also have that. It's sitting over there in that pile.
You can stay right over there in that pile. Yeah. Lords of Shadow was...
It may as well have been called God of War, Castlevania Edition.
Yeah, pretty much. The second one was even worse. You got to spend most of the game as a rat.
Oh.
You transform into a rat and you're like running around a futuristic version of Castle Dracula.
Oh, no. Not future.
And, yeah, it's like modern day London.
Jeez.
And, there's like an oil field built around Castle Dracula, and it's terrible. It's a terrible, terrible game. Most of the dialogue is ripped from other Castlevania games and just mishmashed into this game. It's really bad.
I wonder if it's like it just exists as like a political statement, pretty much. You know, like, oh, oil's bad. See what happens when you have oil fields? Dracula comes out.
And he's a rat. Not a bat, it's a rat.
That's so awful.
In the whole game, Dracula is like this emo bitch. He's just,
oh no.
I hate my life. I just want to die.
See, because in the first one, Gabriel is the main character.
Yeah.
And he becomes Dracula, right? At the end of it.
Yeah. And that's actually who you're playing as, is Gabriel. But the whole time, you're just like...
Yeah. Did you ever play the PS2 ones? Like, was it... Lament of Innocence and Curse of Darkness?
Those are the 3D ones, right?
Yeah.
Mm. I couldn't do it.
They're not like Castlevania 64, which is awful.
That's actually what gave me the bad taste for the 3D Castlevania, and I just went, mm-mm.
Try Lament of Innocent, at least, because that one was really, really good, I thought. I want to say you're Simon, and you actually use a whip, you know, and then you use that for different things like... you know, getting across chasms and stuff like that.
So that seems interesting.
It was fun. And plus, like, there's huge enemies, huge bosses. It had a very Symphony of the Nights feel, even though it was full 3D.
Hmm.
Did you also know that there's a Castlevania in between Lords of Shadows 1 and 2?
Is it on the 3DS or the DS?
It's on the DS, probably 3DS, and then it's also on the PlayStation now. They came out with like a bundle, which put it on.
Is it the one with the mirrors?
Yeah, mirror of fate or something like that, or mirror of
destiny. My friend Shelby has it. Shelby borrowed it for a little bit. It's an interesting game. I was playing it on my DS.
I've told myself I cannot buy that until I get through Lords of Shadows. And I know what happens, and I know the plot, but I have to beat it, otherwise. I don't feel like I deserve to play the good one.
Well, just do yourself a favor. Don't get Lords of Shadow 2.
Yeah, I think I'll stop at the Mirrors one.
Yeah. Go, like, get Doom or something.
I wish Symphony of the Night would come out for the PS4. Like, not with anything new. Just
the same game.
Same game, but with trophy support. Because, see, we don't get trophies for that. Xbox gets their achievements for Symphony of the Night. I love that.
Oh, yeah, no, because it's released as a PS1 game.
Yeah.
So they're just like, no trophies. That sucks.
Although Final Fantasy VII is now, you know, full trophy support, so who knows?
Are you picking up the remake when it comes out?
Absolutely.
I'll have to come over and play it.
It's going to be great, and I'll probably put it on YouTube, so yeah, that'll be fun. All right, three more games left. All right. Lead epic battles in a new blank world. Betrayal and darker dealings await in blank's Game of War. Fight hundreds of battles across dangerous 3D terrain as an ancient blood feud awakens a deadlier foe. Command knights, mages, ninjas, and more. Based on blank characters and magic. 19 character classes, 400 abilities. Deep customization options, in-game interactive manual, only on PlayStation.
Not a clue, man.
No?
What era is that?
PS1. All these are going to be PS1.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Final Fantasy Tactics.
Wow.
Yep. Knights, mages, and ninjas. You could also play as other characters from the series, like Cloud as a character, and Aeris is in there. I don't think you get to play as Aeris, though.
I did not know that.
Aeris or Aerith? What do you prefer?
Aerith is correct.
Okay, the Japanese version.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the source material, so...
Makes sense. Alright, next one. This one is the not well-known one. I mean, I guess it was because you were kind of limited in how many games were actually on the system, but... Okay. The ultimate movie fun comes to the PlayStation Games console. Get ready for a bug's eye view and experience the most incredible adventure ever, featuring fully interactive 3D environments brought to life with unprecedented cinematic quality animation, smooth controls, and challenging puzzles. Blank is a guaranteed fun for all ages. Relive the feeling from the feature film in this action-packed adventure. Cinematic scenes taken straight from the feature film. 15 plush environments, all fully interactive.
That sounds like either... Oh man, that sounds like a Bug's Life.
It is a Bug's Life. Very good. You are 2 for 4. Going on 5. Let's see. This is a wonderful PlayStation game that I'm about to describe, by the way. The blank lands have been taken over by Nasty Nork and his Nork army.
Spyro.
Very good. You are a Spyro fan.
You said Nasty. I like Naughty Dog. Dog and Insomniac. And
with Crash Bandicoot and whatnot?
Yeah, Crash is my favorite game by far.
Are you going to get a PlayStation to be able to...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was actually waiting for you to ask me that question. Yeah, no, I'm getting another PS4 just so I can play Crash 1, 2, and 3.
Very nice. Are there any other PlayStation games you're interested in?
Not at this time.
Maybe I should ask it differently. When was the last PlayStation game when was the last PlayStation system you've played?
4.
Okay, so
I owned a 4.
You did own a 4.
I owned a 4. I sold my 4.
Oh.
I was unhappy with what was out at the time, and I don't know. I just was like, I can spend this money more wisely, and I dumped it in my computer.
Did you ever get into the Ratchet & Clank series?
Ratchet & Clank was amazing. I heard that the new one that's out is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Like, to just blanket statement, it's the best Ratchet & Clank by far, ever.
And it's a reboot. It's a complete reboot of the series, right? Yeah.
And it takes elements from all the games. So not just like, it's not just faithful to the first one where you're limited on what weapons. It takes weapons from all the series and puts it all together. Did you get to watch the movie?
No.
I haven't either. I'm waiting until it comes out on DVD or Blu-ray.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for the movie, and I was kind of confused because I thought I was watching the trailer for the game until it was like the movie and then you get the release date, and I was like, oh, that's a movie. And it looked interesting. I just haven't seen it yet.
Speaking of video games becoming movies, what about World of Warcraft? Did you watch that in theaters?
I have not seen Warcraft. I have not seen the Warcraft movie. I heard that it was pretty horrible.
That's what I heard as well. You know, I didn't have a lot of faith going into it that it was going to do anything. People love World of Warcraft, but this is based on Warcraft.
Yeah, that's the beginning.
Right. So, I don't know. People kind of, they have their favorite characters and stuff, you know. And some of them are in World of Warcraft, yes, but most of them are not going to be. You know, it's almost like an entirely different universe, even though it shares the same things in some regards.
Well, that it's actually the same exact universe. It's just, it's literally set during the events of the first game when the orcs are driven out of their homeland by the humans, and then they have to come to a common ground because there's a mutual enemy that they have to face, and then there's a moment of peace. And if they had done it right, they would have led right into the story of Warcraft 2, which was the upbringing of Thrall under the raising of humans. If the story continues, humans raise an orc. So, but they did. They didn't. By the way, yeah, I'm a huge Warcraft nerd. Now, I don't like World of Warcraft. I like 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
But yeah, I heard the movie was horrible, so I refused to watch it.
Even when it comes on.
Yeah, no, I'm just gonna stay right away from it. I'll have my friend tell me about it. I'll be like, "Hey, you've seen this? I know you have. You watch everything."
All right. All right, well, let's talk about what is your favorite video game of all time?
Of all time?
Any system.
Crash Bandicoot 3 Warped.
Really?
Yeah.
Terrible graphics and all that.
Oh, that game was amazing. That game was, I got it for Christmas 1 year, and I never beat it. I never beat the game. I would just sit there and play like the same levels over and over and over again. I did beat it. I got all the crystals and I beat Cortex. And then they were like, "Oh, but if you get all the gems," and I was like, "Ah, fuck you! I'm not getting the gems. I'm just gonna go play these levels."
Do you have any desire to go back and like 100% it now that you're, you know, older and more experienced?
I will probably do all three of them 100% when I get the PS4.
Okay.
That is the mission. Because for Crash 1, it's all crystals, all gems. And then for Crash 2, it's all crystals, all gems, and then I think there's a time trial mode, and then the third has the relics and time trial. It's just a mess of collectibles.
Yeah, sometimes they're like games look great, but then I find out that they have a ton of collectibles in it, and it automatically like boner killer, you know, right there. A lot of Disney movies or Disney based games are like that. They all have collectibles. A
Bug's Life was like that. They were like, if you get this berry here and this berry, and it was like, all right, come on, dude.
Now, I'm no stranger to Disney games, like, or Pixar games, stuff like that. Like, I played Megamind, I played Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And I actually think those games are great. Like, a lot of people, they're like, oh, they're kiddie games and whatnot, but, you know, a lot can be said for simplistic gameplay.
One of the best kiddie games I ever played was Ape Escape.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like that, not a lot of people remember that game, but that game was freaking long, and it was challenging. It wasn't just, hey, run up and catch the monkey with the net. No, it was, you had to hunt those little bastards down.
Lay traps and whatnot.
It was pretty difficult.
Very nice. Any other favorite games? Like, do you have, like, maybe a top three, or...
I guess my top three favorite games, I'll do it in the order that we do it on our show, which was start with three and go to one. My number three, I guess, would have to be Halo. I spent way too much time...
Original Halo.
Halo 1 and 2. I'll just lump them together. I spent so much time on those. Like, me and my buddy Russ, we knew every super bounce in Halo 2. Like, you know, you would ask yourself, who are the assholes on top of the map? That was me and Russ.
Did you ever do the thing where you put all the frag grenades underneath the warthog and then launch yourself?
Oh, yeah. That shit's amazing. One that not a lot of people know is if you flip a tank and then you drive the other tank on top of the tank and then get out and have Master Chief flip the bottom tank, you will have another tank in the air and all the way across the other side of the map.
Very nice.
It just loses its shit. It's amazing. My number two, I'm just going to say Metal Gear Solid.
Okay.
For the PS1. To this day, that I could put that in and I could sit down. And I don't like any of the HD remakes. I have to play the PS1 version. Mm. But I could sit down and I could just play that game all the way through. For a long time, I had a copy of the game where the second, I think it's the second disc. Yeah, it's a two-disc game. The second disc, there was like a scratch on it. So I'd get to a certain point, and my PS1 was just like, I'm done, man. So I never got to beat it when I was a kid. Man. And I got it later on down the road as an adult, and I beat it finally. And it was very satisfying.
Very nice.
And then Crash Bandicoot.
Did you do the whole trick where you plug your controller into controller slot 2?
You have to. I don't think there's any other way to kill Shadow or Mantis.
Yeah, Psycho Mantis.
Psycho Mantis. There's no other way to kill him.
Did you have any other Konami games like on your memory card when
Symphony of the Night?
Very nice.
I see you like to play Castlevania.
Right.
Yeah, and I did the Ego Raptor. Wait, whoa, what? Like, get out of my head! Stop it.
That was great. I don't know if there's been any other game that like does that. You know, where you have to take out your controller, put in a second slot to actually be able to complete what you're doing.
Well, the only way you can call that the colonel's daughter, yeah, daughter in the game is you have to get her codec number from the back of the case.
Right.
If you rented that from Family Video and they didn't give you the case, you were fucked.
To the internet.
Yeah. Okay. It's like it's 2001. The internet was real slow.
Yeah, if 2001, it might not even been that.
That's when I was playing it, 2000, 2001, okay. Right around there. I didn't get games for the PlayStation right away. I mean, we were kind of a poor family. The fact that I had a PlayStation was amazing. I got it in 97, 98.
That's when I got mine, too.
And I got three games. I got three games for it. I had Spot Goes to Hollywood, which you play this little 7-up cool spot. I had Jet Moto, and I had a game called Spider. And you were a spider with like robot arms, and you killed other bugs.
Oh.
And that's all I had for a long time.
I remember my first two PlayStation games. It was Final Fantasy VII, which I had the game before I had the system.
Nice.
I was that hardcore of a Final Fantasy fan. And then my second game was Dragon Ball GT Final Bout.
Oh, you had that.
I did. There was only like something like 20,000 made in the U.S.
Yeah.
And I had it. Mm-hmm. I got it from Babbage's, which tells you how old it was.
Wow. Yeah, Babbage's hasn't been around forever. Didn't it become EB Games?
It did. Babbage's became EB Games, which became Software Etc., which became GameStop as we know it today. They all kind of merged into each other until there was one left. It was a Highlander.
It's actually kind of funny. Canada still has EB Games. They don't call them GameStop. GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
So they're called EB Games up there. And I'm a huge Electric Playground fan. Like, I love Victor Lucas and all of those game reviews that they used to do on G4. And I stumbled across his show, and he was still filming the same shit, but up in Canada. And I was like, dude... So I subscribed to his YouTube channel, and there's videos of him going into EB Games, and in his videos, he's like, we're sponsored by Electronics Boutique, and I'm like, fucking how? Like, do you have a TARDIS, and you just have, like, one in there? Like, how do you do this?
He is a Time Lord.
Victor Lucas is a Time Lord, yeah.
Alright, so, do you have any sort of YouTube presence?
Our show does through Upside Down Productions. Which is the parent of Geekly Gab and Nerdical Nonsense. All we have up there are like the video versions of our podcast. So it's not actually like a video.
Right.
It's just a picture and then the audio. We're slowly working on where we're gonna put a video of us up there. But some of us are camera shy. And we don't really like being on YouTube.
All right. I don't show my face on YouTube either. I have, you know, my YouTube stuff. Really, it's just me playing games with my buddies. We went through Sword Art Online a little bit until I just said enough is enough. It gets daunting, right? When you have to make a video and then edit a video and then make sure everything's right and then add an intro and an outro and a, you know, now they have the card system where... Like, basically, it's like you can interactively click on the video and it takes you to another video within your channel. It got too much, so I'm comfortable doing podcasts for now. We'll see where that goes. Mm-hmm. Now, the Hank and I's production company is about to have a YouTube presence, and we're going to start doing some Muskegon News kind of stuff.
Like circle jerks, or...?
Well, that's the old stuff, and... You know, we might move or migrate some of that stuff over, but we're really focusing our new production company. Previously, we were known as Why You Doubt Productions, but now I think we've decided on Red Chunk Productions.
Nice. So
that'll be nice. Is there anything else that you want to talk about? Promote anything with your show?
If anybody wants to check out the radio station that I work at, it's siradio.fm. We have an IRC server. If you're into that and you're that kind of old school nerd, it's irc.siradio.fm. And then the Geekly Gab and Nerdical Nonsense show has a SoundCloud, which is GGNN231. SoundCloud.com/GGNN231. And we have a Facebook page, too.
Excellent. So definitely like and subscribe.
Yes, please. And if you take part in our Batman versus Superman contest, you might get a sad Batman cutout. It really is. He looks like the most... Like somebody kicked his puppy over and over again and he's helpless to do it. He's just like, I'm Batman and I'm sad.
They did. They killed his dick.
That's terrible.
All right, well, that about does it. Thank you, Alan Nitz, for coming on the show.
Hey, thank you.
I'm glad to hear more about Geekly Gab and Nerdical Nonsense, and I'll definitely be subscribing and listening later.
Hopefully we can have you on an episode. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool. I'll have lots of video game stuff to talk about, I'm sure.
We actually have an open episode coming up here in August. August 6th is open and August 13th is open, so maybe we can get you on and we can talk games or something.
Let's go with August 13th, if you don't mind.
August 13th, I'll talk to the guys.
All right.
So we'll definitely be in touch. But yeah, this has been a blast.
Awesome. And we're glad to have you on. So, all right, thanks to all the listeners, and have a great day.
Wubba lub dub dub.